Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday. So earlier this morning, I was texting with Rach, and I said, hey, things are going down in Venezuela. Some people were shot, and we haven't talked about it at all. I don't know anything about it. Can you get me an expert? And she said, the only person I know is this lady, Lindsay Singleton. She's been on Fox News and such. I said, oh, we'll never get her. Aim lower. Lower your standards. But somehow she got her. Same day. So Lindsay joins us. She is with Rock Solutions, ROKK, bipartisan communications firm in Washington, D.C. Long resume dealing with foreign affairs. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi.
So nice to have you. I appreciate it. Oh, I see. You're fluent in Spanish and Italian, but only proficient in Russian. That's disappointing.
Get rid of her.
Yeah.
Next.
What a mistake.
I know.
So I'm interested in this. I used to be a lawyer, and I got into radio 19 years ago and never looked back. How does one get into your line of work? Like going back to college, what made you say, I think I'm going to be a diplomat and go into the Foreign Service?
Well, it was a long and sordid tale. Many a night with a vodka soda that got me there.
I bet. So, Venezuela. I have this theory just in life that if you can't talk intelligently about something for 60 seconds, you should shut up, whether it's global warming or politics or whatever. I couldn't do 30 seconds on Venezuela. So, let's start at the beginning. Why is this part of the world important to us? And then try to bring us current with what's going on now with this, who's going to be the president?
Yeah, well, so it's important to us for a few reasons, and one of the big ones is that for the longest time, Venezuela was our fourth largest source of oil. So we get a lot of our petroleum from the region, so Mexico, Canada, and then Venezuela was fourth on the list after Saudi Arabia. And so a lot of U.S. energy companies have invested in Venezuela for years. They have the largest amount of proven oil reserves in the world, about 300 billion barrels of oil. But over the years, under the Chavez government, a number of those companies their assets were basically stolen from them by the Venezuelan state. So Chavez, when he was in power, said, all right, ExxonMobil, I don't like you anymore. I'm taking back what you have invested in. You're out. He said the same thing to ConocoPhillips, expropriated their assets. The only American company that's actually stayed down there is Chevron, and they've been trying to tread very quietly over the last few years to kind of just stay the storm until mm-hmm. things brighten up.
So they're so, I'm guessing it's socialism and Chavez, but my question would be, if they have more oil under their feet than anyone else, why aren't they Saudi Arabia? Why isn't everyone rich?
I think what's happened in Venezuela is what's happened in a lot of countries around the world who have rich natural resources, and it's something called Dutch disease. It's what happens when you are so reliant on this one single natural resource as your main source of income mm-hmm. that a lot of the other things that you need in the country, you are completely reliant on imports from outside sources. And there's an impact that has on your currency and what you're able to actually provide and import in. And so what happened in Venezuela was you had a socialist regime that took over in the 90s, and they took advantage of this enormous disparity between the rich and the poor. They said, poor, you don't have enough, we're going to give to you. And so it was sort of a Robin Hood situation, where they started taking companies' assets, like I just mentioned, Conoco mm-hmm. and ExxonMobil, taking their assets and trying to divvy that up to the poor. And the socialist policies that sort of ensued from that failed. The management of all of those assets failed, and corruption kind of took hold. And now you see the situation where Venezuela is today, where you have a complete collapse of all basic services, infrastructure, healthcare, no access to basic goods and food whatsoever.
So the guy that we like, Guaido, he's also a socialist, though, right? He's just our good socialist, our friendly guy.
So, yeah, I mean, politics in Venezuela for a long time have tended to be kind of colors or shades of more leftist-leaning policies, and a lot of that has to do with the level of poverty in Venezuela. When I was there in 2010 to 2013, about 70% of the country was considered in poverty. That level has only increased since that time.
So, since I have you on the phone, and you do other things other than, obviously, Venezuela, we're about to have the second summit with Kim Jong-un. We have Putin, who's always looking to flex his muscles now, talking about, well, you pulled out of the treaty, and we're going to point our missiles at you, and we think you're sending special forces to Venezuela. It feels like there's a ramping up of the temperature here.
I think that the ramping up of the temperature, you're going to see a little bit of that from China, from Russia, because they, in particular, have invested a lot in Venezuela. China, I think, made a very big miscalculation in their investments in Venezuela, thinking that they were going to be able to get something out of it in the long run. So basically, they engaged in oil for loans. And so Venezuela now owes creditors around the globe about $85 billion, and that's on top of the $65 billion that they owe U.S. investors and funds. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see the Chinese and the Russians try to get back what they put in, but they're also, especially the Chinese, they're going to be hedging their bets here. So they've already been in touch with the Guaido government to try to hedge and see how are they going to be able to recoup their losses. The Russians are interesting because, yeah, they invested, but their end game, I think, is more political. For them, nothing is more appetizing than messing with the U.S. wherever mm-hmm. we may be. And so Venezuela is an opportunity for them to kind of put a foothold into the region where we've traditionally had more of a role. And being able to sow additional instability where they think they might be able to draw the United States into some sort of conflict or crisis or instability, that's good for them. Whatever's bad for us, good for them.
And I see that the market went up a couple hundred points today, largely on hopes that the talks with China are going to bear fruit. What's your gut on this? Are we going to be better off in a month or so?
Gosh, China is not my strong suit.
I should have known when you're only proficient in Russion. That should have.
My Mandarin is not that good. I have hope that there is going to be a trade outcome with China that is more beneficial to what we've had. I mean, we wrote the rules of the WTO thinking, hey, you know, China is always going to be a developing country. Well, those rules they're completely out the window. I mean, China is a huge economy. And so all of the benefits that they've had over the last, you know, 20 years, they don't need them anymore. And they should have to play by the same rules that everybody else does. Yeah. And so think what you might about Trump. I am actually hopeful that the trade deal will be better for American business.
Yeah, Lindsay, you've obviously been a part of this for a very long time, and you've studied this for a very long time. To what degree did Donald Trump throw out the traditional rules and playbooks about foreign policy and relations just in general?
Oh, completely. The rules almost no longer apply. I think at the working level, that's not the case. And so a lot of our partners rely on folks at the working level to get a lot of the day-to-day things done, and that has not changed. But in terms of the negotiating posture that we have around the world, it's changed completely. And I think that brinkmanship, I mean, you can see that in the NAFTA agreement. The way that Trump position and posture about tearing up NAFTA. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I think companies in the United States are actually pretty pleased with the way that NAFTA turned out. In fact, I mean, there were a number of companies around D.C. that were really hoping that the 215th Congress would go ahead and ratify it. So, people are in a hurry to start operating under the new rules.
So, Lindsay, how do people find you if they'd like to learn more about what's going on in Venezuela?
Oh, gosh. There are so many websites out there that I think are really interesting resources. There are the Caracas Chronicles for people who are interested. There's for Spanish speakers. There are plenty of news sources out there. The Guardian actually is a great one that always has great world coverage. And if you're interested in the security situation in Venezuela and Latin America in general, I really love Insight Crime.
And how do people find you?
They can find me at therocksolutions.com at our website, also on LinkedIn. Those are probably the best ways.
Very cool. All right. Thanks so much, Lindsay. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay.
Yeah, got a little insight. Man, how many languages? Good Lord.
Only three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's not proficient.
It's only like
one.
Two more than I do. So.
Really? She's got us on. Her Mandarin is lacking. I don't know. We can't have her on anymore. So, wow.
You guys have some headlines?
I do.
Oh,
you want to start? He
looking
gave me the
close.
Look.
No. Look at him. He's
actually, I don't have the headline in front of me, but it's a really good story. I was going to mention it. It's the cover story in USA Today.
It's about a TV show you saw once?
No, I've got that, too. I've got TV ratings coming up, too.
There's this guy, and he had three sons, and this little ugly girl named Dodie,
right.
And Uncle Charlie lived with them.
One of the kids' names was Ernie. The story that they have, it's a cover story. It talks about the Catholic school kids and how that whole big thing started, the Smollett thing going with that, and how a little story comes out. And this is absolutely true, and I watched a little bit of The View today. When I was at the gym, it was up there, so I'm going to turn it on. Man, right out of the box, they're going at it. A couple of them are like, the one gal is an attorney. I don't know who she is. Former attorney. And she said,
her name's Little Eve.
Yeah, Sue? Anyway, everybody's jumping to conclusions too fast on everything. And they talked about it, whether it's seeing the video of the kid with a Native American in front of him playing the drum or the thing. It's just, you need to just hold back a little bit. And it's easy to do. And this is kind of going in my corner, but it's just everybody is just too fast to make a decision on without getting more information. And it's a really good story. It's a cover of USA Today. And if you read it, especially, it talks about, has a lot of numbers where it just starts with a couple of people. And then all of a sudden it just, what they were saying.
Frank, glad you're taking notes on this.
Yeah.
This is how you do the news.
This is how you do it. So that's my headline.
Okay, good end.
You caught me on
it.
It
was on USA
Brevity.
Today and The View.
You wrapped it up.
Yeah, The View. It was
The View was talking about it.
No, The View was talking about.
They're going at it.
Yeah, Jesse.
Okay,
Jesse.
Yeah,
Jesse.
Alrighty.
Rach, can you save it?
R. Kelly has been charged with sexually abusing four victims, at least three of them minors.
Ten
in
counts.
The state of Illinois. Yes, the alleged crime spanned from 1998 to 2010.
How has he not been caught yet? In jail yet?
Well, there's a warrant. I believe he's been arrested. It would be cool if my story told me that.
I think it's funny that... No, but like prior to this.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's been doing concerts, yeah.
I think it's funny that he did that, whatever that headline thing was, and then when it was Rachel's turn, she starts it and he goes, 10 counts! Like,
yeah,
I know this one too!
Fact-checking me.
I can do this one!
It was actually on his TV screen, so I saw it, so...
God.
Aggravated.
No, Dave, you're absolutely right. We have turned a blind eye to this for 20 years now, and now that it's fashionable to care, everybody cares. That being said, good. I am glad he's finally facing some sort of consequences for this, but it does make you roll your eyes a little bit like,
pretty sure he's been charged in the past. I'm pretty sure this is the first time he's ever... I don't know if he's ever been convicted, but I'm positive that I've read stories about him being charged in the past.
Well, on a social level, everyone's just been like, oh, R. Kelly.
Yeah, right. It really has been kind of like that. Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of like the Harvey Weinstein deal?
Like, you know,
yeah.
It
could be.
It's like, we all know.
Yeah, open secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, you know him.
Always classic R. Kelly.
Yeah, always looking for those.
Always peeing on those kids.
Good headlines, guys.
Thanks.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.